Just a few days ago, we were celebrating the Chrism Mass, the great liturgy in which the bishop blesses and consecrates the oils that will be used to anoint the faithful who receive the sacraments in the coming year. The first reading of that Chrism Mass is always taken from Isaiah the prophet. We hear the beautiful words with which our Lord announced the beginning of his public life in the synagogue at Nazareth. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the lowly, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and release to the prisoners, to comfort all who mourn, to give them oil of gladness in place of mourning. In his Chrism Mass for the Diocese of Rome, Pope Francis spoke very movingly about those words, about all who are anointed, in union with Christ, who is the anointed, are anointed to bring the oil of gladness to others. So that was how our Lord's public life began, with the announcement that he had come to bring the oil of gladness. And yet now, so soon, we are at Calvary. What went wrong? How did the one who came to bring the oil of gladness become the man of sorrows that we see today? Well, of course, the immediate cause of our Lord's suffering and death are suggested by the account of the Passion that we've just heard. The Lord got himself into trouble with both the religious and civil authorities of the day. Some among his own people rejected him because he was less and more than what they expected and wanted the Messiah to be. Less because he did not restore the independence and the worldly fortunes of Israel, but more because in bringing relief, in bringing the oil of gladness, he slowly admitted to his divine identity, which seemed an offense to the hard-won monotheism of Israel. If only Jesus could have been just a man, giving us just what we wanted in this world, he would have had no trouble at all. So that was the trouble among his own people, the Jewish people. Among the Gentiles, especially those in authority, there was the fear, entirely unfounded, that what Jesus was doing was a threat to the good order of society. Those were the immediate causes of the crucifixion. We know that pretty well. But those weren't really the only problems, were they? Those were not the only disappointments that turned the one bringing the oil of gladness into the man of sorrows. The sorrows, the frustrations, even, I want to say, the failures that Jesus brought to the cross were many. First, I suppose we have to mention his apostles. Into those 12 apostles, Jesus had poured most of his efforts during the 3 years of his public life. How did that go? Well, they were always slow learners, and they were affected with ambition. That was a little frustrating. But it was the final tally that was so abysmal. One betrayal, one denial, and nine desertions. Then the larger body of disciples. Same story of desertion in the face of the passion. When the going got tough, the disciples got going in the other direction. And that kind of problem, the problem of people not quite being able to stay with Jesus, was not new in his experience. He came to proclaim the truth that sets us free and brings us joy. But not everyone could accept it. There was that rich young man who went away sad because he was rich and could not accept the invitation to look for a treasure in heaven. And then there was that terrible day when many of his followers refused to follow him any longer because he announced the doctrine of the Eucharist. My flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. And it was too hard a saying for them. There had been good moments, of course. Jesus, the bearer of the oil of gladness, had brought consolation and relief and joy to many, especially in his miracles. But you know, you cleanse 10 lepers, and what do you get? One comes back to say a word of thanks. And for all the sick he cured, and the possessed he delivered, and even a few dead he raised, there were so many more sick and possessed and dying that Jesus could never begin to bring relief and joy to all of them. The faith tells us that Jesus took upon himself the sins of the whole world and paid the price for them on the cross. That is certainly true. Having no sins or guilt of his own, he died for our sins. He made a vicarious sacrifice to atone for them. That's what we hear in the beautiful first reading from Isaiah today, the fourth song of the suffering servant. But he was pierced for our offenses, crushed for our sins. Upon him was the chastisement that makes us whole. By his stripes we were healed. It was the sins of others that Jesus brought to the cross. But the sorrow, I think, was his own. That was not vicarious. That was his own sorrow, proper to himself, personally felt in the 3 years of his public life. And especially in his passion. Surely this is at least part of the meaning of today's epistle. Our great high priest is one who has similarly been tested in every way, yet without sin. His sorrow, disappointment, frustration was caused by the fallenness of those he had come to relieve. The malice of some, the lack of trust, and the inconstancy of others, all the weaknesses that kept those who heard Jesus from living in the truth he came to give them. And the Lord's sorrow came too, from the human problems caused ultimately by sin, which had so multiplied over the face of the earth that he could never address them all. In the end, all that Jesus, the great high priest, could do was to offer himself, his body, his life, all he had left, to offer that to the Father in supplication for the world. Jesus, the great high priest, was the man of sorrows, offering the sacrifice of the cross. To share in the priesthood of Jesus Christ is to share that identity of his, to be a man of sorrows, offering oneself and one's people to the Father in union with the sacrifice of Christ. To be a priest is to be a man of sorrows. It's also to be a bearer of the oil of gladness. As Pope Francis said at the Chrism Mass, of course, there are many, many good moments. But it's also to be a man of sorrows. And today is Good Friday. So our reflection today is most properly about that. After almost 30 years as a priest, I so often think to stand in the sanctuary and look out, one would never guess the sorrow behind those faces. But you hear confessions. You speak seriously with people. Families bring you their struggles. And you realize how much sin has disfigured the world and how much sorrow it has brought. It was said of Pope Francis that as Archbishop of Buenos Aires, he did not smile enough, and people didn't like that so well. That's because he's a saint, you know. He has the heart of a great priest that sees the sorrow all around and feels it as his own. In a city like Buenos Aires, he was in the middle of more suffering than we can imagine. As a bearer of the oil of gladness, a priest brings the relief he can, and he can do a lot by God's grace. But a priest is also very conscious of his limitations. So many things he cannot solve. So many needs beyond what he has the time and energy to do. Sometimes priests see so much sorrow that they want to mitigate it a little bit by taking a shortcut, giving some overly lax moral advice, or trying to do something for people that the church tells them that they can't do in that case. And sometimes Monsignor Bartolo has to get involved. I don't think that priests ever take those shortcuts out of malice. But when we do that, we show ourselves to be enemies of the cross, as Peter was. When hearing the Lord foretell the cross, he said, "God forbid, Lord, that anything like that should ever happen to you." And it's not only ordained priests who share in the priestly heart of Jesus, the man of sorrows. All the faithful share in the priestly identity and ministry of Jesus Christ. When we are willing to be with others in their suffering, doing what we can to bring relief, including bringing testimony to the truth, even when it is difficult, then we have a heart like that of Jesus, the great high priest. Again, isn't our new Holy Father a great example and inspiration to us in that regard? In his evident compassion for those who are suffering, his solidarity with them, and his desire to bring relief. That is when you are closest to the heart of Jesus, the great high priest. When you bring relief as far as you can to those suffering on account of sin. Or even when you are present, even if you feel unable to bring much relief. One of the ways that happens most frequently in the lives of the faithful is in the experience of good parents who suffer on account of a wayward child. Those parents want to help in whatever way would really be helpful. Being faithful to the truth, a good parent does not want to justify what is wrong or to enable bad behavior. And in the face of problems that are not easily solved, those parents really suffer with their child. Finally, having nothing further to do but to offer that suffering and the problems that human effort cannot solve to the mercy of the Father. That is what the Lord does today. On the cross, the Lord says, I have come to be with them in the midst of all the suffering that sin has caused. I have done what I could to bring relief, but so much of what I have done has not worked out as I might have hoped. I have suffered from the effects of sin. I have done all I can. Now I offer it to you, Father, to be healed. And stretching out his arms on the cross, exhausted, naked, as a sign that he had absolutely nothing left to give, the Lord Jesus offers all the sufferings of the world to the Father, who alone can heal them. This is the plea of Jesus on Good Friday. What is the answer of the Father? Well, it's Good Friday. We don't see that answer yet. But it is coming soon.